Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, get up.
Change.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of Hazel Runs Your Mouth, or
Yay.
Her Mouth even. I am your host Hazel with my adorable, irresistible, sexy sidekick, Mr. Arthur Jones.
Oh, I'm Dad's sidekick.
You're my sidekick. I'm the Green Hornet. You're Kendra. You kick ass and I just look pretty.
Pretty much.
So anyway, we got a couple of things that we're going to talk about that were brought to our attention. One of them is to do with the UWM, which is the Milwaukee Panthers, the men's program. They have received a postseason ban, which means they cannot take place in any postseason tournaments and everything that are going on. And the article says the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee has been denied its final appeal of postseason ban for its men's basketball team because of cumulative academic performance rate scores. UWM will not be eligible for the Horizon League tournament and any kind of postseason tournament following the 2014-2015 season. The academic success of our student athletes will always be a top priority in the Milwaukee Athletic Department, said the athletic director. We are aware that problems did occur in the past and we have faced them and made changes and are accepting the consequences from the NCAA. Well before we even started the appeals process, we began implementing new processes to help all of our student athletes. The penalty is for low APR scores over a four-year cycle beginning with the 2009-10 season running through to the 2012-13. UW-Milwaukee's score over that period was 908, below the NCAA's minimum of 930. Teams lose points from the maximum 1,000 if a scholarship player leaves at the end of the semester and is not in good academic standing, or if a scholarship player is not academically eligible at the end of the semester. UW-Milwaukee made the NCAA tournament in 2014 after an unexpected run to the Horizon League tournament title. The Panthers now will not be able to defend their own league crown. The school will have to replace 4 hours of practice each week with 4 hours of academic activities. Basketball-related activities will also be limited to 5 days a week instead of six. UW-Milwaukee has added two academic support staff members since 2012. I'm very proud of the steps that we've taken in regards to the APR score, UWM head coach said. The quality of the student-athletes in our program cannot be stressed enough and we are fully committed to supporting them. So what are your views on that?
I never knew you had to have a certain level of, you know what I mean, to be able to play ball.
I know that most schools make you be at a certain GPA to be eligible to play. But in my opinion, though, is that shouldn't it be... I understand why the school's been suspended, and to me, the fault of their lays actually in the school, in a sense, if they knew their cumulative scores were below, can you turn that down? If their cumulative scores were below a certain level, then it should have been their job to have started raising them right away and taking the necessary steps to get them up there.
They should have done something about it earlier.
That's what I just said. As soon as they saw that the points were lower and were slipping below that 980 or 950, whatever it was that they said they had to be, as soon as you know you're about to hit that, you should be on the backs of your players. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to me, UWM has only got themselves to blame for it, and they really need to pull their fingers out their butt, so to speak, and get those scores back up there, because UWM did good. They were the Horizon League champions. Mm-hmm. They did get through to the NCAA tournament. So, you know, they are a good team. They do have the talent there. Well, now because of this, you know, and I understand where the NCAA is coming from. They don't want all these schools just churning out, you know, A-list athletes. You've got to have an A-list athlete who has a brain behind it, because you're not always going to be a basketball player. I mean, in all seriousness, how many, when you look at the statistics, how many college-level basketball players go on to the NBA?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
You seriously have to be able to back it up, you know, with the brains and everything behind it. You've got to be able to, when you leave there, not think your whole future rides on you becoming an NBA basketball player, and that's your future. What if you get injured? You may get signed by a team, but what if you get cut?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to be able to back things up. You've got to be able to go to school and be able to have a career, you know, outside of there. I mean, and everybody jokes about, what's his name? Shaquille O'Neal being a sheriff. Yeah, he doesn't have to work. He's got all the money in the world. But he wanted something else.
That's right. You do.
I'm trying to think. Who's a couple of the other ones? There's a couple of other basketball players as well who, you know, when their careers ended, even though they had the money and the financial means to be able to, if they wanted to, not do anything else, chose to further their careers but in a different field.
Stephen Curry is another one.
Thank you, yes.
I don't know if he's done with school already, but I know he's still going in the summertime.
Right, and that's the whole point. Is the, you know, you've got to actually be able to back things up, you know what I mean, with actions. You seriously have to back things up with actions. And that's the sad point. The sad fact is that for so long, you know, we just churned out athlete after athlete after athlete, and grades meant nothing. We really have got to make sure that if our kids don't make it to the NBA or they don't make it in a sports field, because let's be honest, there's a lot of students who have careers as college basketball players who go on to doing athletic work, you know, whether it's working in athletic departments in high schools, grade schools, colleges. Some I know that, I'm trying to think who it was who they mentioned. There was somebody who was apparently worked for, was a very good player for the Badgers, who then went on afterwards and became like sports director of something like the Y. It was a, you know, a big gym and everything. So there are careers that people can follow. They could be personal trainers and everything. But you still got to know things. You still can't just be, oh my God, he's an excellent basketball player. You still got to be able to back that up.
Right.
So, you know, to me, the athletic department at UWM really has to look at themselves and see what they've done. Do you know what I mean? See what they've done and what they should have done to make that possible. So we are going to play another song, and we will be back shortly. I know we've got some news that we're going to get to. There's a lot of stuff that went on. I know one of our hosts from the Smarks list is probably going to be calling in as soon as we start talking about the Ultimate Warrior, which was news that shocked everybody. But for now, we are going to play a song, if I can actually get to the board to find it. And here we go.
the legend of the phoenix, all ends with beginning. What keeps the planet spinning? The force in the beginning.
I'm up all night to get started. She's up all night for good fun. I'm up all night to get started.
Talking about was actually where the money was going to come from and where the public money would be used towards it. And I have to agree with what a bunch of people said, and that was that people didn't really have, they weren't opposed to it being used as long as the same amount of money that was going to be used where the basketball hoops are now gone, to making sure that the parks are easily accessible, much better for the kids in the area.
Right. Mainly what they're saying, like, they don't care if they take the public money for the new arena, but put some in the parks as well.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
Just in case some people are, you know.
Like, you've not listened to what I have to say.
No, I heard you
say that. No, you don't listen to
just
me at all.
I'm just saying.
At all.
Oh,
no, you don't.
Yeah, there could be people that slow, you know.
Anyway, so, I mean, I kind of actually agree with that because I think it would be, it's, you know, worthy to the community. Those of you who live in the Milwaukee area or have been around here summer.
At least there's some good news.
What?
There's one.
Okay, well, we're not talking about baseball.
Really?
So, you know, if you live in the area, and I'm sure it's the same all across the country, that, you know, basketball courts are filled up. Schools that have basketball courts in them are also filled up all the time. All the time. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done. There's a lot of things that like you've got a hoop or you've got, you know, the playgrounds are a mess. You know, a lot of work needs to be done on them. And I understand where people are coming from. If you're going to be spending X amount of money on, what's it called? If you spend X amount of money on the grounds and everything, then you should be using those that money on public places as well. So, you know, hopefully that will actually get sorted out and, you know, we'll have improvements in the area and that type of thing. So I want to move on to something else, which was a little issue that has kind of been the process of basketball. Robert actually is now on a 2-day in-school suspension because of a fight he got into yesterday. Basically what happened is he said he was playing basketball, the kid tripped him up. When Robert got up, the kid then kicked him, which prompted Robert to smack him twice in the face. And Robert is the one who got in trouble. I'm not condoning Robert's actions at all, far from it. He knows better, and he knows that, you know, we don't tolerate that at all. So before anybody jumps on me, you know, I'm not condoning Robert's actions. The actions I'm condoning are the schools. Because, one, when I spoke with the principal yesterday, I didn't pay any mind whatsoever, but the principal said to me on the phone yesterday, well, you know, we spoke with everybody involved in that child. You know, his parents are a big contributor to the school. You know, we've never had problems with him. You know, so he's much more believable. I didn't pay much notice to it. I was too annoyed that I got a phone call from the school about Robert's attitude and behavior. Well, Robert came in from school, and I spoke with him. He told me what happened and everything. And so I sent an email to the school about it. And his principal called me up today. And while I was on the phone with them, the principal actually turned from being Mr. Professional into being Mr. Ghetto White Trash. And I am not joking. He went from being the, hello, this is Mr. Hendrickson from Milwaukee, South Milwaukee Middle School, to like really coming out of character. And it went from being, I was told that, you know, Robert had hit the kid, to then it was Robert had pushed the kid, to then it was Robert had hit the kid, to then it was Robert just held his hands up in the kid's face. So I seriously, at this point, seriously do not know what was going on. The principal then made the comment of, maybe if we had put more time into not losing our home and into not, and if we stopped grieving so hard for somebody who isn't here, meaning basically my son, then maybe Robert wouldn't have this issue and got into this fight today. Dude, even though he's a principal, has obviously never dealt with a bunch of teenage boys playing basketball.
Probably not.
Because I could go around any basketball court in the area, and you get a bunch of teenage boys, and they're going to start. Simple as that. Now, one, I did not appreciate the blame being put on me. I am not responsible for my son's actions. You know, I will get on Robert over fights and everything. And it is not my fault that from February of last year through to November, that, you know, we were bouncing from place to place. We had tried everything in our power to stay situated so that Robert would have a steady place. We did everything we could to do that. You know, and we could still be in that situation now, but if it wasn't for the help from a couple of people. So I won't put up with that crap for starters. To me, that is bullshit. I'm getting blamed for my son's actions. I am not my son. you know, you try and raise your kids to be independent thinkers and all that lot. Well, that's what he means. That's what he is. He's an independent thinker. And then do not blame me grieving for his brother. That's their words. If you weren't still grieving for someone who isn't here.
That's none of their damn business.
Well, and that's bullshit too. Robert still grieves for his brother. I'm going to grieve for my son for the rest of my fucking life. And if people don't like it, there's the door, walk out of it, because I don't need you in my life.
Yeah.
And every bad thing I felt about myself for the situation we've been in for the past year, well, that we were in for nearly a year, was basically rammed down my throat by this principal, blaming me for stuff. And as you know, I blame myself for everything as it is. I do not need some jumped up, pompous little twat telling me the same thing, because it's made me feel down all fucking day. My son got into a fight playing basketball because he's a 13-year-old boy. Simple as that.
Somebody tripped him.
Yeah. But no, this kid, you know, oh, his story is more believable than Robert because his parents are big contributors to the school. So, I don't care if I contribute a penny or $1,000 to the school. Every contribution should be treated the same. And I've tried enlisting that in Robert, that everything that he has given, he's grateful for. And you saw him last week when you gave him the allowance that you could afford.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, you know, sorry, it's not much this week, but, you know, hours were short. And he was like, oh, no, that's great, that's good, that's money, it's money. My job's done when he said that. As far, you know what I mean? Because we've instilled in him, it's not the amount of money that you receive. You know, it's, you know, the meaning and everything behind it. And it's the same with Maddie's memory. I've busted my ass so hard to get that organization up and running and everything. And I don't care if somebody comes to me and says, look, I'm sorry, I don't have anything, but I can share your page. That to me is priceless. If someone then comes up to me and says, here's $100, go and buy what you need for the memorial bags. Go do what you need to help other families who are grieving for their kids. That is wonderful. Anything in between is great. Heck, somebody could send me a 49-cent stamp, and I would be happy with it. And, you know, to then have the principal make out that just because this parent, you know, contributed more money than we have to the school, that makes him a better child. You need to go fuck yourself, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Because that just ticks me off. It upset me for the whole day, and I'm still upset over it. Because I've beaten myself up month after month after month for the situation we were living in. I don't know how many nights I literally cried myself to sleep over certain things in regards to that. From the houses we were staying at that were filled with roaches and people fighting, and people screaming and shouting at us, to then go into another place where we were basically belittled and every little piece of money was taken from us, and my son was treated like crap and we were treated like crap, and ultimately had stuff stolen from us. You know, when you go through, you know, we went through that, and we tried our best to make sure that Robert lived in a semi-normal environment. And to have some jumped up little fucker make those kind of comments, are you kidding me? Yeah, my son has had a couple of issues, but who wouldn't? He had to see his brother, the kid that he wanted, buried. He had to see us struggle. You know, I will never forget that day and seeing Robert's face when that doctor said, I'm sorry, there's no heartbeat, the baby is dead. I will never forget the look on his face and the tears that came out of his eyes. You know, the fact of it is that instead of blaming everybody for actions and everything, all I wanted them to do was to investigate it further so I had the story straight. Because I'm not going to... Robert's punishment vary based on what the situation is. You know? I'm not going to give him... You know, if he was if he got knocked over and he was defending himself, he would still get in trouble for fighting because I'm not going to have him fighting at school. But it's going to be a different punishment to whether or not he started and initiated the fight. I need to know these stories. I back the school up. If my son is fighting at school and the school wants to give him an in-school detention or an in-school suspension because of it, I will back him up if my kid's fighting. Because I firmly believe that parents need to listen to the school and listen to the teachers and everything. But give me the right damn story. Don't be saying, oh, this is the story because this kid's parents donated more money to the school than you. Don't fuck yourselves on that one, pal. Sorry, it just really upset me. The whole thing really upset me. And it brings me on to this thing that you remember I showed you?
Sorry to cut you off, but I wouldn't have, if he was defending himself like you were saying, I wouldn't even put him on punishment. So.
His punishment would still be what the school gave him. The in-school suspension. But I'm saying, I can't punish him if I don't know the story. I can't just punish him purely on, well, the principal said this because of this, this, and this. As I pointed out to the principal today, I said, you know, you need to let me know the true story. I said, because what you told me on the phone yesterday is different to what you told me on the email this morning, which is now different to what you're telling me on the phone.
Right.
Either way, I back the school up in the fact that Robert shouldn't have been fighting in school. And he should be punished in school for that. I totally, totally agree with that. What I don't agree with is me getting different stories as to what happened. Because now, what punishment do I give him at home? Because I've only got part and parcel of the story. I don't know the full facts. And the principal just kept interrupting, and then pinned the blame on me for Robert fighting today. Well, if that was the case, Robert would have started fighting last year, February of last year when we lost our home. He would have fought through February, March, April, May, June. Summer he would have been fighting. Well, he was, but that was with the kid who was beating him up. Then he would have fought in August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March. So in that over a year span, since all this began and everything, he has got one in one fight. We want to go back even further and he wants to blame it on us grieving the death of our son. We'll go back 18 months to when Matthew died, okay? Robert got into a fight after that because somebody said to him, no wonder your brother died. Look how fat your mother is.
Mm-hmm.
Robert got into a fight for that. To me, when Robert told me that, what did I say to him? Robert, you shouldn't have fought him, but I understand why you did.
Right.
So in 18 months, my son has been in two fights. And one of them, to me, is justified. The second one, we have no freaking clue what went on.
Exactly.
Because no one can tell us the right story. So, you know, that's where I get upset. That's where I get annoyed. And that's where I've been so upset today because, you know what, I cannot turn off my grief. I wish, oh my God, I wish to God I could. I really do. Because I don't like getting up every day mourning my son. I don't like that feeling every day. And I'm doing the best I can in regards to our housing situation. Compared to where we were last year, we're in the Ritz-Carlton in the penthouse. You know? We got a great home. We're doing the best we can. Robert's got his own room. What was the first thing we did when we moved in here? Was make sure Robert's room was set up. The first furniture we got him his dresser. He got him his bed. took us a couple of months to get him his bookcase and his desk and everything, but he's got all of that. We made sure, we got him his bedroom curtains. His room was done. How long ago did we get a proper bed for us? Last month.
Yeah, I was about to say, it was a while.
We got our own bed last month. We were sleeping on a freaking air mattress that popped.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's one thing after another, after another, after another. My kid comes first. It seriously does, which brings me on to the other topic, which I was telling you about, if you remember. You remember I showed you that video of that kid in Massachusetts who threw a chair at his teacher because his teacher refused to give him back the cell phone? The school district are taking the side of the student, and the teacher could lose her job. To me, what a part of horse's crap. Schools have an issue for taking phones away from kids. You're not allowed to use them in class. Robert's school, you have to keep them in the locker. The only time you're allowed to have them in the classroom is in homeroom. Then you're allowed to have them in your classroom. But you cannot use them as a phone. You can use them to listen to music, to look up stuff to do with homework. All devices at Robert's school are blocked from using YouTube, Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, that kind of stuff. And this is the other thing with Robert's school. I don't know what they have in his school, but they have a means that disables actually outgoing phone calls from within the school. The only network you can get onto is the school network. You cannot use your phone actually to make phone calls. You have to be outside the school. You know, so to me, if Robert's phone was, I mean, we've had it once before, if you remember, where Robert didn't put his phone in his locker. I got the phone call from the school, you know, Robert's phone has been confiscated from him. He had it in class. I'm like, was he using it? No, it was in his pocket, but our policy is if we see a phone in the classroom, we have to take it. I was like, okay, so how does he get it back? Well, you're going to have to come up here and get it. Well, issue, we live too far away from the school for me to just jump on the bus. It's about an hour ride. And they told me at 1 o'clock, and I have my friend's son to look after at like 2:30 onwards. So I can't physically go and get it. I gave permission for his best friend's mom to go and pick it up because, as you know, me and Michelle are close. Michelle went and picked it up. No problem solved. What I wouldn't tolerate is Robert picking up a chair and throwing it at a teacher, because God help him. Seriously, God help him.
Right.
And, you know, we put all these blame on teachers for our kids failing and everything, yet we won't let teachers teach. We won't let them take charge of their own classroom and do the work that they need to do.
Right.
And, you know, until then, things are going to be disruptive. No wonder parents are going to such extremes as to homeschool. I can honestly tell you, about 75% of the people on my friends list are homeschooling their kids.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. And to be perfectly honest, I do not blame them in the slightest. I think if Robert had siblings that were around his age, I would have considered it myself. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I really don't blame them. I really do not blame these parents for wanting to homeschool their kids because, you know, with all this stuff going on where teachers can't teach their kids, you know, they can't shout at the children because, oh, you mustn't shout at the kids. See, you have to talk to them like they're adults. Screw that. You've got a class of 20-plus kids that are being unruly. You should be able to shout at the little they're at. Parents have got to start realizing you have to let teachers teach. You have to let teachers discipline. You're expecting them to look after your kids. Something just pulled on my toe. No, it felt like somebody was playing with my toes. And you've got both the dogs by you. Hello, Maddie, baby. But I honestly, you know, I honestly think that, you know, kids deserve teachers who will stand up and look after their kids and everything. But if you want to homeschool your kids, you're probably going to do a better job than most of the schools right now. And I'm just beyond it. Like, one of my friends has just told me, I'm not going to mention her name because I want to keep her daughter's privacy, you know, together. She's homeschooling one of her kids after her child was inappropriately touched by someone at the school. And the assistant principal said it wasn't his problem. Bullshit to that one. You know what I mean? It's to me, it's just ridiculous. It is beyond ridiculous that this is how, you know, schools are and everything. Everything else stood up and done what was right for the kids as opposed to what's right for themselves. Parents, stop being afraid to parent your kids. Let the teachers do their freaking jobs as well. If you weren't raising a brat, maybe kids wouldn't be picking up chairs and throwing them. If you know, schools don't allow your kids to take a phone to school, don't let them take a phone to school. Robert has permission to take his phone to school because of the distance he is from the school to our house. And if there's a problem with the school bus, he is then allowed to contact us. But anywho, on that note, I am going to play another song. We're going to calm down. And then we are going to talk about the sad death of the Ultimate Warrior. So let me find a good song. Actually, this is a fitting one. And we'll be back. his stones know what I did in the dark. I'm innocent. I don't do nothing in the dark. Always put the lights on. Thanks very much. Anyway, some really, really sad news came out of WWE last night, which I think totally stunned everybody. And I mean everybody. We saw Sinem be inducted into the Hall of Fame on Saturday. We saw him at WrestleMania Sunday. He was on Monday Night Raw Monday. But yesterday, Ultimate Warrior died. I'm going to read you a little article when I know that AJ's probably got some words to say, but I think you need to come over here so people can hear you better because they can't hear you very well from over there. I know that Chris, our host from the Smart List, he's going to be calling in a bit. But the article says, the man who was born James Brian Helwig, who earned a global following as professional wrestler, the Ultimate Warrior, died Tuesday night, World Wrestling Entertainment announced. Helwig was 54. TMZ reported that Helwig, who officially changed his name to Warrior in 1993, collapsed outside an Arizona hotel at 5:50 p.m. on April 8th while walking to his car with his wife. Warrior was transported to a nearby hospital where he was pronounced dead. Helwig's death comes only 3 days after the Ultimate Warrior was inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame and just one day after he made an appearance on WWE's Raw, which was his first appearance on the show since 1996. I think everybody is just beyond stunned. I mean, seriously, beyond stunned as to how. I mean, there's just no words to describe the loss, the unimaginable loss to the wrestling world and to the entertainment industry in general. This was a man who spawned a generation and inspired a whole generation of wrestlers. You know, when you ask people in the WWE, you know, who inspired you? He's one name that has come up time and time and time again. I am actually, well, when AJ told me, all I could say is I was stunned. I was just about to go to bed, and I just heard AJ go, oh, my God. And I'm like, what? Now, those of you who know AJ know that he can be a little bit over the top at times. Bless him. So I'm thinking, oh, God, what, you know, what now? The Bucks have lost again. Surprise. And then when he told me, I'm like, are you joking? You know, I was like, who said that? And he was like, it's on WWE. I'm like, yeah, okay. Got my computer out, took a look, and there it was. Triple H had announced it via Twitter. And basically, you literally saw the whole world stop. Even people on my friends list who, you know, tell me, oh, I hate wrestling. I'm like, what? I grew up with him. I grew up with that man. How did this happen? And to me, it's just, it's heartbreaking. I'm glad that he lived to see himself get inducted into the Hall of Fame. I'm glad that he was able to mend fences, so to speak, with the company WWE. You know, I'm glad for all of that, but my God, what a shock, complete shock to the wrestling world. So I'm just going to put this caller on who I believe is Chris. So, hey, you're on the air. How you doing?
Hey, guys. What's up?
I think you're the same as us. It was just total shock, such sadness over the news that came out of the wrestling world yesterday.
Yeah, it is. I mean, just 3 days, he spent the last 3 days, you know, being happy and enjoying what had to be, you know, the most exciting, you know, 3 days possibly of his life, because he was, you know, about to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. And then you know, after that, he was going to appear on WrestleMania in front of all the people. And then also, the next night, he appears on Monday Night Raw and gives one final little speech, which we, at the time, we had no idea would be his final one.
Right, and I said to AJ, I wonder if the stress and the excitement of those past 3 days were just too much for his body to take. I really do.
Well, you know, I mean, back then, I mean, you know, the Ultimate Warrior was one of those guys that did do a lot of the things that guys that would probably be around today are not around for now. I mean, he used to put, you know, a lot of painkillers and I think sleeping pills and steroids in his body, and you know how that can take a toll on a man, because, you know, a steroid is a performance, it's a muscle-enhancing drug. And what people seem to forget sometimes is that, you know, the heart is a muscle too.
Exactly.
And I think when you do something like that and you and your it causes your heart to grow, you know, 3 or 4 times larger than its normal size, and it's going to have difficulty functioning in your body. So when you get older, which he was around, he was 54, he when you have as much excitement, which I'm sure he had a ton of excitement in him, and he was so happy that all of this was happening, that he was a guy we know on YouTube who goes by the name of Good Mic Work, he put it really perfectly. He said he was stressed, but I mean, he was probably stressed in a good way. I mean, because
I'm not saying like stressing, oh my God, what the hell am I doing and all that. Like, I mean, as you know, every emotion affects your heart. You know, that's why when you're happy, you say your heart's going to burst with happiness, because it still puts that strain on your heart. As you said, it's a muscle. And I'm wondering if just the stress of all those emotions, because let's be honest, out of everybody who was inducted into the Hall of Fame, Paul Bearer and him were the two everybody was waiting to see.
Yes.
And for him, can you imagine, like, okay, you know, everybody's telling me that they want me in the Hall of Fame. Everybody's telling me this, that, and the other. It's only until you step out on that stage and you hear everybody just lose their minds for you, you know, and he had the stress of the fact that there was this, you know, and we had heard conflict over the DVD and everything, and I'm sure he had issues that he had to resolve with the McMahon family and all that. Lot. So, you know, it's not just a case of, oh, he's been inducted into the Hall of Fame. There were so many other factors, I'm sure, that contributed to it, and I think in the end it was just too much for his heart, bless him.
I think he was the literal definition of the word overjoyed.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
When you talk about being overjoyed, and I'm talking about when I say overjoyed, I mean overjoyed. I mean he had so much happiness in his heart with these events that he just dropped dead. And
as you know, I mean, he had been away from the ring for such a long time, and, you know, to come in and just feel all that, I mean,
just to feel that energy again.
Yeah. The only way,
I mean, I know how that energy feels. I mean,
probably for him is that his heart was just filled up with such positive emotion. You know, when you say, oh my God, I'm just so happy, my heart exploded.
Yes.
It is a terrible loss to everybody, and, you know, especially our heart and our sympathies go out so much to all of his family, especially his wife and his two little girls.
I mean, think about how they must be, what they must be going through right now. I mean, it's like you said, he was walking to his car with his family, and next thing you know, the guy just passes out. That's horrifying.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, and then most likely his two little girls were probably there too.
Right.
And they had to witness that. They had to witness their father dying on the ground in front of them. And I'm sure paramedics were called, like you said.
Right.
But they couldn't save him. They didn't catch him on time. But back to what I said about all the things that, you know, all the abuse that he put his body through. I'm not saying, you know, it's Warrior's own fault that he died. I mean, it's just a simple thing, you know, that when he was, you know, one of the hottest stars in professional wrestling, he did some things I'm sure when he was still alive he's not very proud of. I mean,
right.
He took drugs. I'm not saying he was a peeled out crazy guy like Jake Snake Roberts used to be. But he did a lot of things to his body that I guess now when he looks back on it, he really wasn't proud of it, and he knew at some point that he was subject to death at any time.
Yep.
And when you do stuff like that, when you put steroids in your body or any type of drug like that, and it affects your heart, not only does it affect your heart, but it enlarges your heart. But the larger your heart gets, it weakens your heart also. So when you get emotionally, you know, overjoyed like that, whether it be good way in a bad way, it's to a point where your heart cannot take it, and your heart starts pumping so fast, it makes your heart work harder until it just gives up and just stops on you, and you just pass
right.
out. So, I'm glad he got to say his little, you know, speech on the Hall of Fame, because he talked for a long time. I think it was about an hour that he stood out there, and he just spoke his heart, he spoke his mind. And
I think one thing that's going to be good for his daughters is when he was talking to them.
Yes.
And, you know, you could hear and see the love he had for those girls. And
yeah,
I think, you know, I know for me, if that had been, you know, my parent who had died and everything, just being able to see him and hear those words to them over and
yes.
over again, you know, is to me would be comforting. I know that obviously he's got a strong family. His wife is obviously an amazing woman, and
she
is there for him and everything. So, you know, I know that those girls are never going to feel like their dad didn't love them, but I'm just saying, you know, at least for them, they're going to have that ever testament of him saying in front of everybody, you know, these are my girls, I love them, they're, you know, next, you know, you guys, I love more than wrestling, and you know how much I love wrestling. You know what I mean? Hearing that and being able to see that, I think, you know, hopefully will give the little girl some comfort. But it's just tragic. It just really is.
I mean, he said in that speech that the greatest thing that, I think that's what he said, the greatest thing that he could ever do was be their father.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if his wife or his little girls are listening right now. Honestly, I doubt they are. But you guys had one hell of a father. He loved you. He cared for you guys. Don't even worry about that DVD because I haven't even looked at it myself, and I'm probably never ever going to. But I used to, you know, be a little bitter towards the Ultimate Warrior after everything that I heard and know that he did. But, after hearing his Hall of Fame speech and hearing his side of the story, you know, I said to myself, you know what, this is a damn good guy.
Right.
So,
And I think what those girls have got to remember, you know, is that their dad, the Ultimate Warrior, wasn't dead.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He was the Ultimate. He was coming at night, and you know, who probably when they were little played tea parties with them,
mm-hmm.
and you know, that's dad. All this wrestling.
He was the Ultimate Dad.
yeah, everything else that came, you know, his all this wrestling and everything was his job. It wasn't who he was. That, you know, they just need to remember that Dad was Dad.
Yes. And I think now, well, I think the WWE has already done this. I'm not sure what the new Ultimate Warrior DVD looks like. I don't know if it's a bunch of matches or a documentary, but I'm going to search for it on Netflix. I'm actually going to watch, if it is a documentary, I'm going to search for it. I'm actually going to watch this. I'm going to listen to what he has to say.
Like at 8 o'clock Central Time. I think they already showed it, unless it's still going on.
Well, on the...
the WWE Network.
Let me have a look. I can bring that up quickly.
They're showing WrestleMania 6 in his memory. They're probably gonna. They've been showing it for the last few hours. I think this is the last minute thing, you know, since Ultimate Warrior just passed away. I mean, they took out all the other programming that they were gonna show on the network, and they said, you know what? No, we'll skip all the other programming, and we'll show WrestleMania 6 tonight, and
right.
We'll show it
okay,
for the
I
next.
Just set it on now
and we'll show it. And we'll show it twice. I mean, look at the schedule. It was scheduled to be on two times tonight. It might even be on again. It might even be on all week. Who knows?
Right. And
I mean,
you know what?
I'm,
this is where, to me, this is where the WWE Network, you know, can do him right. You know, after
yeah.
everything that had happened with the first DVD that came out and everything, I think
yeah.
this is where the WWE Network can do him right and honor him properly, legitimately, and the way it should have been.
I mean, yes, exactly. I mean, thank God that I have not seen that DVD. I haven't seen the self-destruction of the Ultimate Warrior because I don't want to see it.
Yeah,
I mean, not necessarily. I mean, I don't want to see it more than ever, but I didn't really want to see it because I just really wasn't interested in hearing, you know, what the hell Ultimate Warrior did to make everybody so mad at him. But now that the guy has just passed on and now that he had the great weekend that we had and we were, you know, enjoying it almost as much as he was, I don't even think that matters.
I don't think it does either. Whatever went on in the past is in the past. Whatever... you know, whatever they have to say about it, you know, whatever, it's in the past now. Let's remember him for the matches that he did.
Yeah.
You know, let's remember him for his family and the two little girls that he was raising. Let's remember him for the Hall of Fame appearance, the WrestleMania 30 appearance, the Monday Night Raw, all that political bullshit that came along with it. Do you know what? It's not necessary. It really isn't.
Right.
Not even important. And to all the internet smart marks, who I will deal with you guys tomorrow night, if you guys plan on saying anything negative, you better just get some super glue and glue your lips together, please. Because nobody wants to hear it. This really isn't enough time.
And see,
and
that's the thing is that, you know, at the end of the day, you've got to realize that, you know, it's the same with like what we've seen with other wrestlers in the past and everything who left WWE and that lot. And you hear the stories as to why they left the WWE and the feuds and everything. And I think... You know, there's so many people out there who believe that the word of Vince McMahon is the word of God.
Not exactly. He is not exactly a perfect person.
No, exactly. But you know what I'm saying? We know some people who, you know, oh, if Vince McMahon says it, then it's true and, you know, all this lot. And you've got people
who probably
got
doesn't even know what he's talking about.
That there's more to what goes on than just those things. There really is. And if
I think
we would do Ultimate Warrior proud if we remember his great matches. You know, if we talk about Ultimo Warrior, let's talk about the matches. Let's talk about his family and what his family meant to him, those types of things. The rest, fuck it, it's in the past.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and he after this weekend that we've had, the last thing anybody should even want to say to me right now is wrestling is fake. Because any non-wrestling fans that are listening to this show, which is probably a few of them or a lot of them, because I don't think you primarily talk about wrestling, do you, Hazel, on this show?
No, not normally.
Well, any non-wrestling fans that are listening to this right now, I guarantee you, if you want to take a walk in their shoes, even just for a day, you would not last. I promise you. You will, I dare anybody to go train to be a wrestler for one day. You will sweat, you will claw, you will be sick to your stomach, you will be in pain, you will be limping, and you will fail. You will feel effects of things in which you've never ever felt before. You think just walking around and getting up out of bed every day is hard? You don't know. And you don't know what us as wrestling supporters have to deal with on a normal basis, especially, you know, when it all comes to things like this. You know, people die all the time in this business, and it's not exactly an easy thing to deal with, but at the same time, sadly, when it happens so frequently, it becomes something that you get used to.
Yep.
And I'm not saying I was, like, you know, expecting the Ultimate Warrior to die. I'm just saying not at this point in time.
Right.
But then again, I mean, anybody else, I would have been like, ah, damn. But Ultimate Warrior was like, cricket, 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 cricket. Dead silence.
I can honestly say I had the same feeling on hearing the news about the Ultimate Warrior as I did with Macho Man dying.
Yeah, well, it's just a real tragic time, man. All the guys that were back in the time are no longer around, and then you have these three. And now you have Macho Man's gone, and now you have the Ultimate Warrior who just passed away last night, and that leaves one who also led that lifestyle that they led. And he walks with a limp. He has, you know, problems, you know, functioning a little bit. And I hate to say it, but this could only mean a similar fate for one guy. This could only mean a similar fate for one named Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
You don't know. We don't know when it's going to come. We don't know where it's going to come. But all we know is that he is subject to the same fate that they were subject to, because he did a lot of the same stuff that they did. So maybe more than likely in the next 20 years, there will be no more Hulk Hogan.
And the thing is, if you recall back to when Macho Man died, he had crashed his car, but he had a heart attack at the wheel of his car.
Right.
At the wheel of his car.
You know, Ultimate Warrior had a heart attack. And it's very rare, and as you probably noticed yourself, Chris, it's very rare that you hear, okay, this wrestler fought a battle against cancer and succumbed to it, or, you know, this person, you know, with the exception of Mae Young, reached such and such an age and died peacefully in their sleep. Sadly, it's heart attack, heart attack, heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said earlier, it's the lifestyle that these wrestlers lead and led when you go back a few years. And I'm not even going back a long time, because the wellness policy didn't really kick into effect with WWE until very recently in wrestling years. You know, you still have, you look at them, you look at the wrestlers, if you go back and you see the overextended muscles and you can see, you know, it's more than just bodybuilding, it's more just working out its enhancements. And don't get me wrong, for certain things, I've had to be put on them for my fiber or my MS when things really...
Yes, steroids are, you know, when you use steroids for the right reason, you know, they're not bad.
Right. But when you use it as performance enhancement, then you've got the issues because you're not taking it according to doctor's prescriptions. You're shooting it. And as you said, people get the high and that it affects the heart, hence heart attacks. I would say probably about 90% of the wrestlers who died, it's been heart attacks or strokes.
And it's just sad. Like you said,
well,
people die from the heart attacks or strokes and stuff like that. It just, it's stabbing. The thing is like, part of it is people think it is linking to drugs that some of these stars have heart attacks.
And that's the whole point as well, is that, as Chris just said, these people who say, oh, wrestling's fake, wrestling's fake. We've been at many training sessions with wrestlers. You've trained along with them.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day when before I left England, I went and trained with my brother for a short while. And I would suggest, as Chris just said, anybody who believes it's fake, go and participate in a training session.
You wouldn't last. I promise you, especially with your ego, you will walk right out of there. You will want to walk right out of there.
You'd be crawling on your hands and knees, let's be perfectly honest. And, you know, with the injuries that happen, and everyone's like, well, how can they get injured when it's fake? Dude, getting thrown out of a ring isn't fake. That's not no computer graphics. That's not the new WWE wrestling game.
What
That's
the fuck is this? This is not a Universal movie, all right? This is not The Mummy Returns.
Exactly,
this is
not
any of those things that you see with computer graphic tornadoes or dinosaurs or mummies or killer bugs or anything. This is real shit. You don't have stunt doubles.
And yes, they are trained to fall and land certain ways to help minimize injuries. Let's say it's not completely alleviate it. It's supposed to help minimize. But as you can attest to, Chris and AJ can attest to, and I can, all it takes is for your timing to be off by half a second.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, thank God that we have, you know, I mean, I'm going to bring this up again. Thank God we have guys like Cena who don't, you know, who's not peeled out of his mind, who does spend time in the gym, who has been spending time at the gym since he was, I don't know how old, since he was a child, especially since, I don't really want to say this, it's kind of silly, but thank God for those kids for picking on him when he was young and motivating him to go in the gym and actually work out.
Right.
I mean, because now when you look at him, he is 100% natural. Me and a guy at work were talking about weightlifting today, you know, because I'm about to get back in the gym myself. I'm not trying to look like, you know, John Cena. You know, I don't want to be big. I don't want to be buff. I don't want to be wide, and I don't want to look like big. No insult to Cena when I say this, but I don't want to look like a big chimpanzee. All right. I want to just look toned. I want to look like, you know, I want to have one of those little, you know, famous actor physiques. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And even a physique like that, you know, if you want to make it in the wrestling business, that's a good enough physique. You know, you don't have to be big. You don't have to be huge. You don't have to be boom, 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 boom type guy. I mean, see, when it comes to guys.
I was going to say, if you look at the wrestlers that we have now, you can tell the ones who spend time in the gym. And you don't have a lot of what I refer to as the power wrestlers. You know what I mean? Which were all big muscles. They were the Hulk Hogans. They were the Ultimate Warriors. They were the Macho Man Randy Savages. You've got a lot of athletes who are extremely toned and defined, who wrestle in there. a lot of the bigger guys are guys who I'm sure they're like the Mark Henrys, they're like the new Russian dude.
Alexander,
whatever his name is, yep. You know, you've got guys, in my opinion, you've got men now, a lot of the men who are now look like men. Do you know what I mean? They don't look like their muscles are artificial and fake, and they look like they could be your brother or your uncle or, you know, somebody who you know.
I mean, because like I said, when me and him were talking today, you know, if you want to look like, you know, somebody like Batista or Cena or whatever, then you have to spend more than one day in the gym each week.
Right.
You know, you got to spend maybe 6 or 7 days in the gym a week, and you might have to spend extra hours in the gym. I mean, because my thing that I want to do is maybe go in there, work out for maybe 2 or 3 hours and leave maybe every week or every, and if I want to feel like getting another workout in, I'll go in the next day. But if you want to look like that, because, I mean, Cena's people have told the story about how he trained. He trains like a madman. He used to pop all the blood vessels in his eyes from training so hard.
Right.
And he would train so hard that he would go out to the railing and hang his head over puking. And that was the story that Dave Knock told from the first gym he ever trained at was Hard Knocks Gym. And it's run by this guy named Dave Knock. You know, they talk about it on his DVD. And he said that, you know, this is in his voice, we have a railing outside. And the real club offer those who I have induced vomiting to where they go out and hang their head over the railing and let it go. John Cena is a member of that club, absolutely. Probably more than once. You know what I mean?
Right.
You got to damn near kill yourself. Because that's what he did. He damn near killed himself. I mean, shit. And that's why he's so huge. I mean, because he had the motivation. Me, on the other hand, I don't have that motivation. I mean, I got motivation, but I don't have motivation to train like an animal. I mean, if I'm mad or if I'm pissed off, then I'll probably go the extra mile. But that's it.
Well, and also the difference is that, you know, when it comes to, like, John Cena and then, say, you and AJ who have jobs and have school and all the such like, is that you don't have the time to be able to put in 6 or 7 hours a day at the gym.
Hell no. We sure don't.
You got bills to pay, dude. You know? I mean,
I'm thinking at least an hour would be, like, good enough.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, as long as you're putting in some time and you are trying to do it, it doesn't matter whether it's an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, or what.
Mm-hmm.
Just do what you can. But, you know, if you go back, say, 10 years or so, Cena would, you know, might have been one of the, I don't see him doing it, but it's, you know, he could have been part of that generation of, you know, okay, I want to be that big boy. Let me just have some of these steroids over here, and I'll just pump the iron a couple of times, and I'm good for the day. So now,
I mean, honestly, I doubt that he did that, but you're right.
A lot of people were talking about this earlier, that I guess Nancy Grace, she'd be on the Headline News Network. Apparently, she, I guess, buried the Ultimate Warrior, so to speak, as they say. So,
really?
Yeah, that's what I'm about to play right
Hold
now.
Hold on, send me the link, because then I can play it on mine. Just share it onto my page.
I'm going to have you guys on loudspeaker because I'm watching WrestleMania 27.
Okay, I'm just going to mute you a bit, Chris, and then I'll come right back to you, okay? Okay, so we're going to find this link, and then I'm going to play it, and hopefully you'll be able to hear what it says.
Tonight,
So, one, they got their facts wrong.
Like, if Owen Hart didn't die of steroids, which is kind of, like, sad why they would, you know, say something stupid like that.
Right.
Well, I would say she. And a lot of these people, they're not happy about it.
No, and I don't blame them. You know, the fact of it is that, one, you got to get your facts right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as we said, a lot of wrestlers have died from, you know, drug use and the after effects.
Right.
But at least get your facts right when you're naming names. Do you know what I mean?
Right, just sad.
I'm going to put Chris back on.
And somebody else is on the line, too.
Who's on the line? Okay. Well, I'm going to pass the final 20 minutes over to AJ. So he can take over this. And we actually have Chris, and also we have Peter Quigley, who runs his own Fed here in Wisconsin as well. So I'm going to pass the floor over to AJ because I need a cup of tea and nature call.
She said late nature calls.
It does.
I got to juggle.
Oh, you can juggle.
Not really. Can't juggle. But, anyways, back to this. I guess there's more to come with that interview. I think that wasn't all of it. So as soon as they post it up, we'll just like play another video of it and what was said. But it's just like they just got their facts wrong, and especially saying Owen Hart died and they had these listed names that died from steroids. What do y'all think?
I think it's kind of funny how the media, the only time the media likes to talk about professional wrestling is when somebody dies. And most likely they run to steroids for the first thing to say. Funny, isn't it?
Yeah, Peter, how about you? What do you think?
Yeah, this is the first thing that they talk about is steroids. There could be other circumstances. Heart attack. Hey, I have it in the family. Anybody can have a heart attack. Like they say, a lot of people say once steroids are always steroids. I don't believe it.
Steroids have pretty much become a stereotype when it comes to talking professional wrestling or bashing the business in general.
Right. It's just sad that people will just jump the gun and think it's steroids. Well, it could be more. The person probably, you know, probably will have a heart condition in the near future, and like the drug ain't probably, you know, enhancing the chance, but it just happened. It could be a condition they probably have for like a while. Just don't think that drugs are to, you know, to blame for.
Well, it's like I have Parkinson's, and I ran a show in October of last year, and a gentleman walked up and asked me what kind of drugs I'm on because my hand shakes.
Well, right, that's... Oh, go ahead. Just mainly just like what you just said, Peter, about your Parkinson's disease, and they think like you on some drug or something like that. It's just like, I don't think people know like family's history of health issues, and the first thing they want to blame it on is steroids. There could be something, you know, deeper than that could be going on in the family tree. Because it's like, for example, let's just say that
look at me with my MS.
Right. And your mother and Hazel's mom don't have MS, but she does. It would be like Robert don't have MS, but right, but maybe his future kid will.
And I get a lot of times that, oh, what are you on? Why are you walking with or why are you doing this? And especially when I lose, especially as with my MS, I lose my balance a lot, and my equilibrium is completely screwed up. There are times when AJ will attest to this, I can be standing there, and you'll just see me kind of like stumble, and it's not because the wind's blowing, there hasn't been an earthquake, I just, my equilibrium goes, and the first thing people ask when they see me stumble, or if they see me, there are times when I'm pretty much hunched over with pain and everything, and I get asked, well, what drug are you taking? What are you on? Why are you walking that way? I have MS. Well, what drug caused it? No drug caused it. It's, you know, lesions that are on my brain. It's the melatonin and other things that are screwed up in me that's causing this. You know, there's a reason for it. It's not a drug thing.
It's just like there's going to be genes that you're going to be carrying. If you don't carry it from your dad, you probably carry it from your grandfather or something like that.
When you go to my birth father's side of the family, my one of my aunts, one of my uncles has MS as well. So it is in my family genes. But the whole point of it is that, you know, not everything is drug related.
Exactly. Well, you guys think that, will they finally get off the subject of thinking that is everything leads to steroids to, okay, this person probably will suffer with this condition for a long time? But that question goes to either one, so... Well, do you guys think that, you know, would they stop blaming the steroid as for,
the response?
Yeah, like the response for, what, she said, that they think steroids is the problem. Will they finally get, do you think they would finally get off that subject and finally realize to get their facts straight?
Sorry, guys, I'm listening. I'm just tweeting.
Oh, it was just a question. Like, do y'all think they will ever get a chance to stop, like, blaming steroids for, you know, wrestlers having, like, heart attack and stuff?
I honestly really do not think so. I mean, because, you know, people can be so close-minded and so, you know, just, you know, dumbfounded that, you know, they'll, you know how people will get one side of the story and just let that be it. I mean, because, like, saying that wrestlers are hopped up on steroids and this is a, you know, a business where everybody is taking some kind of drugs to get where they need to be, which partially that is true, but not all the guys are like that. It's more than just a bunch of it's more than just a bunch of roid freaks smashing into each other. And the only people that will actually understand that are the people that care to understand. If you don't care to understand, then no explanation will do. And that's the problem. Nobody cares. Nobody even tries to understand. It's not how they think the business is, it's how they choose to think the business is. Let's put it like that.
I think you're right there. You know, I'm sorry, I'm stuffing my face with food. I'm hungry. I think part of the problem is that society has in their minds how they believe wrestlers and stuff should be, and what they believe people have to do to become a wrestler. you know, in order to become a wrestler, you've got to be willing to take drugs and stuff and all this lot. Well, you know, wrestling's not the only sport where steroids are prevalent. You know, every whole baseball season with various, you know, baseball stars being accused of taking drugs and fighting things and everything. So, you know, it's not just wrestling. Baseball, basketball, football, hockey. I mean, if there is...
Oh, but those are real sports, right?
Huh?
I said, oh, but those are real sports, right? Those are the cool sports. They actually really do get hurt. They
right.
have reason for drugs.
Sorry about this.
Wrestling is a stage nonsense.
Real sports?
You know, and that's the sad part, is that it's like everyone's shocked. Oh, my God, Ryan Bourne did steroids.
Yeah, and it sucks that, you know, people, some people hear and be like, oh, I hate that guy.
Well, no, but that's not what I'm on about.
I know, but I'm
saying. That they go on like, oh, my God, Ryan Bourne did steroids. Okay. Is he going to play next season?
Don't
you know, and but then you get other people when it comes to, like, wrestling and stuff saying, they look at Cena, oh, he has to be taking drugs. They look at Triple H, oh, he has to be taking drugs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's no, it's like.
There's somebody at my job that thinks that Triple H is on steroids and thinks John Cena is on steroids.
It just makes me laugh when people have that attitude, you know?
Is so short-sighted and closed-minded and irrational. You know, I talk about being logical all the time. This is why I talk about being, this is why I always ask wrestling fans when they want to give me their opinions to be logical, be rational, and do not hide behind freedom of speech.
Right. And that's how it's a problem that, you know, if you're going to say, like when we had the whole thing about saying, oh, I just like this wrestler, back it up with at least a logical reason as to why. You know, if you don't like something, you know, please have a reason for it other than, well, he's just an asshole. Well, why is he an asshole?
There's
going to
be a damn good reason.
You know, the response because he is just isn't there for it. I have a reason I don't like Triple H. He was in the UK. Some fans went up and asked him for an autograph, including this little kid. He pushed this little kid to the side and says, I don't have time for this bullshit right now. Right there and then, any respect I had for the man went out the window. I'm done, you know, we're done, we're over with it. No more time for I have for Triple H if you treat fans that way. Why do I not like Cena? I don't like Cena's in-ring character because I think that Vince McMahon and the writers have ruined what could be potential of being a really phenomenal character. That's my opinion.
That's not his fault.
And I will gladly debate it with anybody. But you won't hear me resorting to calling somebody childish, an asshole, a dick, sending them little poems via instant message saying how bad they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, you know? And I think that's where, you know, people who aren't wrestling fans, when they say, well, why don't you like wrestling? Because it's fake. Okay. What else? Well,
no, what was your favorite television show?
I've got a friend of mine who doesn't like wrestling because her words were she was made to watch it all the time when she was growing up. Her and her dad and her brother's whole life revolved around it. He would make them travel all around the state they lived in. They lived in Texas.
Oh, wow.
He would make them travel, like, all around the state to go see everything they could and all that lot. And I know you love the guy for that. I
was about to say, what the hell's my dad?
But she'd had enough. She's like, you know what? She said, I'm all wrestled out. She said, I don't care if I don't see it for another 20 years. But at least that's a reason. Do you know what I mean? But anywho, I do appreciate you guys for calling in. We got a few minutes left. So I'm going to stick you guys back on hold because I've got a couple of things to say and a couple of announcements to make, and I want to play a song to end this segment. Thanks again, as I say, for calling in. It is appreciated. We have some other shows coming up later this week. We have the Sparks List with Chris tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
What time is it again? 9 o'clock or 10? 10
o'clock.
Okay. 10 o'clock Central Time. And at least if you're going to argue with Chris on something, back it up with facts because, you know, Chris is a smart dude. That's all I can say. What have we got going on Saturday?
Not this week, but...
Oh, now we're going to get to the following week in a minute. I think the Saturday, Sunday...
is my show.
Oh, good Lord.
Oh, wait a minute.
You don't know when his show is.
No. It's on Sunday. It's just I had to schedule it for a different time because of work.
Monday is WFSO Aftermath.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday is absolutely nothing.
Well, yeah.
Wednesday will be back to being me. Started Easter Saturday, we actually have a brand new show. It's going to be on the air. Pretty much going to be another wrestling show, but that, hey, it's wrestling. Come on, if WWE can have a show on pretty much every day in their own network, so can WFSO. Thank you very much. One of our guests who called in this evening, it's his show. It's going to be called The Peter West Show. He is a promoter. He has been in the business for longer than I've been alive. We don't even want to know how old I am. It's going to be his viewpoint. He's going to have guests calling in. His daughter is actually a wrestler as well. So hopefully he'll be able to get... Oh, excuse me, I'm burping here. He'll be able to get her on the line too. So you might actually hear from some of the local Wisconsin wrestlers as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you'll hear from a couple of my favorites, which is Mr. T.C. Washington. Well, that... Washington.
Mr. Renan Watson.
And I'm hoping we hear from Xavier Mustafa. Those are two of my favorites. They always have been. I ain't even scared of Xavier. Oh, look, I'll go eyeball to eyeball with that man. He does not scare me. One little iota. Anyway, that's starting Easter Saturday, 7 p.m. AJ's actually going to be one of the guests on that show that day. Help get things started, get things underway. It looks to be a phenomenal show. Anytime you get somebody who has a wrestling history as long as Peter's, that to me is awesome. Get that show in there. Get it in. Tune in and listen. If you don't listen, then I don't know what you're going to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You have no idea. You can listen to that show while getting ready to go to the club. Simple as that. Wednesday's show for me is I'm actually going to devote it to pregnancy and infant loss awareness because next Wednesday is April 16th. Apart from being the birthday of two people who are important to me, one is my stepsister Tracy. She turns 39. The April 16th is also my big brother's birthday, who my son was named after. Well, actually, both my boys were named after. So it's my big brother Matthew's birthday. May he rest in peace. I'm sure he'll give me a hard time by turning off power and stuff. And it's also 2 years to the day that we found out we were pregnant with Maddie. So it's going to be a very rough kind of day for me because, you know, what should have been, and it was, for me and AJ, one of the happiest days of our lives, we were going to have a baby, was also, when I look back now, was the countdown to one of the most terrible days of our life as well. So next week I'm going to devote the show to pregnancy and infant loss awareness. We're going to talk about a lot of the great things that are going on, a lot of the research that's going on. If anybody has any help, please get in touch with me, let me know. We'll fit it in where we can. So this is me saying good night, good luck, good love, loads of warmth and love to everybody, and we will catch you all next week. I'm going to play a little song to hear us out for the last minute of the show. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Good night.